Hi, welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast for October 20th, 2011. I'm Beth Bielow, and I'm pleased to serve as your tour guide through all things introvert. Through the Introvert Entrepreneur, I offer coaching, training, and presentations that inspire innies to understand, own, and honor their natural strengths. I also help outies understand the innies in their lives, as well as tap into their own inner introvert. Before we jump into today's conversation with Tony Martin, I want to let you know about a few things coming up. We're about to wrap up the first virtual introvert conference with our final teleclass on October 27th. If you miss the calls, there's still the option of registering to receive the podcast or transcripts for any or all of the sessions. Visit introvertconference.com for more info and to register. Conference rates are in effect through October 31st, 2011, and after that, podcasts and transcripts will be available, but for an increased rate. Sign up before October 31st to get the best deal. If you're committed to making 2012 your best year ever, you'll want to join me for the Make 2012 Amazing Group Coaching Circle to be held in January and February 2012. This offering is limited to 5 to 7 entrepreneurs who want to focus on turning up the volume, introvert style, of course, to meet their business development goals. We'll talk about marketing, money, and managing your time and energy, among other topics. Plus, each Coaching Circle member will get 2 30-minute individual sessions so we can focus on your specific opportunities and challenges. This is perfect for introvert entrepreneurs who want accountability, focus, feedback, and to learn from others. It's also a very cost-effective way to get coaching from a professional facilitator and to gather information from your fellow entrepreneurs. Info and registration will be posted on my website, which is theintrovertentrepreneur.com, by October 28th. Now on with the program. I know from numerous conversations that lots of you have a book inside of you waiting to come out, but you might not know how to get started or which path, traditional or self-publishing, is right for you. There are lots of websites and consultants and advisors out there, and much of what you find is far from neutral or unbiased. So my guest today gives us some solid advice for considering which path is right for you, and in particular, how to move forward if you decide to self-publish. Tony V. Martin is a ghostwriter, author, publishing consultant, and founder of Power Broker Media and FinallyFinishYourBook.com. She helps entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, consultants, and anyone trying to get their message out there in a big way to finish their books and create profit centers through back-end information products. Her background is in PR, journalism, and publishing, and her work has appeared in Allure and Spa magazines, on Essence.com and eHow.com. She is the co-author of Atlanta Weddings for the Modern, Stylish, Chic Bride and author of Prepping for Prosperity, How to Be Rich Before You Get Rich. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the podcast. I'm happy to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to talk to you and your audience.
Thanks. I want to start out by, you know, talking a little bit about your background, because I know from our conversations that you are an introvert, and your career sounds like it originally got started in public relations, which is not necessarily something that I would usually think of as an introvert-friendly profession. So could you talk a little bit about that, and then how you made the transition into what you're doing today?
Sure, definitely. The public relations, I think I wanted to start out doing corporate communications and newsletters, and then as I got more educated on the field, people said, oh, that's public relations. And so I was with different firms, and a huge part of that is media relations, which is pretty much where you're cold calling journalists and having to pitch them on, you know, placing your client. And being an introvert, I prefer to write. I prefer to research, and that just did not sit well with me. And so I think it was just part of a process of getting to know myself, getting to know my strengths and weaknesses. And so I was able to be very clear that I do like the press release, the marketing materials. I like that aspect of writing. However, I don't necessarily like the pitches to the journalists. So just knowing myself, knowing what my strengths and weaknesses are, is allowed me to be more specific And for the book writing, the ghost writing that I do now, you know, I've always been a writer and always wanted to write a book. And I was in the process of writing my own book. And I'm very organized as an introvert. I love doing the research part. And one of my friends who's in PR, since, you know, I have a lot of friends in the public relations industry, had clients who had a bunch of pictures and they wanted a book written around these pictures. And she said, well, Tony's working on her book, you know, we should talk to her. And so one thing led to another. They had confidence that, you know, I knew what I was doing. And so that's how I embarked on the ghostwriting career, which, you know, I think takes the best of both worlds. I talk to people, but it's one-on-one, and then I get to do a lot of writing.
Yeah, and it struck me for the first time that ghostwriter is almost the ultimate introvert comfort zone with, in terms of, you know, carving out a writing career for yourself, because you don't even have to do all that promotion stuff. You get to write the
book. Nobody even knows who you are.
Exactly.
Like, you're totally behind the scenes. So it's not an occupation to go into if you want the glory and the guts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it sounds like you really, like you said, listened to what your strengths were and were able to carve out something that you really loved, rather than just jettisoning the whole thing. It wasn't all or nothing. You really found where your talents could be leveraged.
Absolutely. And the one-on-one, like I said, I love people. I love working with them one-on-one. So another part of what I do right now is publishing consulting. And so I love that, you know, as opposed to having a list of, you know, 75 reporters that I need to call who don't know me from Adam. I love working with somebody one-on-one and knowing that I'm helping them. So
yeah.
Definitely.
Well, that's a great transition to my next question, because I do want to spend most of our time talking about that publishing piece. And it's really funny. This morning I was on Facebook and I saw a little ad off on the sidebar that said, "Publishers are evil." And I just thought it reminded me of one of the reasons why I did want to talk to you, is because if you're someone who is wanting to write a book, there's so much information out there and so much advice, and it's coming from people who feel very strongly one way or the other. You know, they see traditional publishers as evil, or they see self-publishing as, you know, not it, under, you know, it doesn't have the reputation or the cachet that a traditional publisher does. So with all of those very strong and opinionated viewpoints out there, how does an aspiring author decide which way to go? What do they need to consider?
And it's so cool because, you know, the publishing industry is experiencing such tremendous upheaval with all the technological advances and opportunities. So really the power is shifting from the publishers to the people, or it has shifted actually. And so with that, you know, there are going to be people who are strong proponents of the self-publishing, and then strong proponents of, no, the old guard, the traditional publishing. And it's really hard to say that one size fits all, because it doesn't. So I advise people to, first and foremost, be very, very clear on what your objectives are with publishing. So you need to look at your industry and look at other people who have successfully done what you're trying to do. And so if it's, you know, the standard in your industry is to write a textbook or to be published by a small press, then those are going to be the credibility boosters for what you want to do. However, if you're someone who's out speaking, you have a business, you're, of course, an entrepreneur, and people are saying, hey, you know, I want to buy your books in the back of the room when you're done speaking, or I want to get things from your website, then you know that self-publishing would be something right for you. If you're attached to the New York Times bestseller list, if that's your goal, you know, and that's where you want to be, it's a little bit more challenging to get there as a self-publisher, as opposed to going with an agent and a publisher who already have those, you know, relationships in place. So really knowing your objectives is kind of key to guiding your decision on what to pick.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that before. That's a great point, that sort of what are the trends in your what your peers are doing, and that would give you a signal as to what would be most embraced, probably.
Right.
Wow, thank you. And, you know, I know from our, again, from our conversations, that you're somebody who can work with someone no matter which path they're going on.
Right.
Traditional right. or self-publishing. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about that self-publishing path.
Okay.
Because that's probably something that a lot of people are thinking about, or at least have as a plan B if the traditional route doesn't work out. So what are some of the advantages that you see to self-publishing?
Well, one of the ones, like I just mentioned, is that, say, if you're a speaker and you need, you know, you've got a big event, you know, keynote that you're doing, you know, 6 months, you can self-publish a book in that time and then have those books ready to sell. So the speed of the technology, you know, all you're investing up front is a lot of time, and you can quickly get your book in your hands. Some of the other advantages are, you know, with the digital publishing, everything is electronic. You can make changes. You can do revisions, different editions. And then the last thing is really the control, because when you self-publish, you have control over every aspect of the publishing, the process, the cover, the look, the feel, everything. Whereas when you go with the traditional publishers, they're going to, you know, really have a lot of influence and say over that final product. So those are some things that are attractive to people who look at self-publishing.
So what would some of the challenges or pitfalls be?
And, you know, I just got this from one of my mentors, but she said, you know, you're either going to invest time or money. So if you have no money, then you're going to put in a lot of time, and vice versa. So for the self-publishing, you are the publisher, so you're footing all the costs, the upfront costs for having your cover designs, having all of the editing done. If you want inventory that you want to carry, you're going to need to cover the cost of those books. So the primary, I think, factor is, you know, having to have a budget in place. And then, of course, the marketing piece to help get the word out about that book is going to be an investment as well.
Yeah, and I want to circle back around to that question, because I know that's a that's a huge one, no matter if it's traditionally published or self-published.
I think
some folks think, oh, if I go through a traditional publisher, they do all the marketing. And
nope.
I've heard that is not the case. So
either way,
you're going to be working your butt off. So I want to make sure we circle back around to that.
Okay.
But say, you know, I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, well, you know, I would like to self-publish. Where would I start?
Definitely. I advise when I work with my clients to do a self-assessment and to really assess what your objectives are, like I mentioned earlier, what you want this book to do for you, the timeline, you know, any budget that you're working with, you know, kind of what's called your author's platform, which are all the different ways that your audience, your target audience, is going to find out about you, and really look at your strengths and your weaknesses as an author. Actually something that I do as a session, and I'm happy to offer that to any of the listeners. So from there, after you've determined, you know, that self-publishing is the best option for you, then what we want to do is look at the competitive landscape. So we really want to research and see what the best practices are in the genre that you're writing for. And I work primarily with, you know, business books, self-help, those types of books. And so looking to find out what's on the landscape, you know, even what's on the horizon. So you can look on Amazon and find out what books are going to be published in the future, you know, future publications, and see what am I going to be competing against and how can I position myself within this market. Even though you're self-publishing, you still want to approach everything from the standpoint of a big traditional publisher. And so after you've done that, then you want to put together a timeline, because, you know, without deadlines, then it'll languish for years, as it probably already has.
Yeah, I saw that on your website when you talked about, you know, have you had this book inside you forever?
right, and that's just, it breaks my heart. But, you know, once you have a timeline, and even if you need to get a buddy and tell them, hey, you know, every week on Fridays, check in with me, I'm going to send you my chapters, and just really getting organized. So looking to other books in the landscape, and then something else I tell my authors is to pick a muse book. And what I mean by that is a book that you think just really is the gold standard for what you're trying to do. Don't try to recreate the wheel, you know. So find that book and kind of look at the topics and then think about what you have to say that's different. And then that will help you to outline your chapters and your sections and, you know, just really be organized. Stick to that timeline. And then in the process, maybe about midway through, whatever you determine, if it's 6 months that it's going to take you, maybe, you know, 3 months, you want to start reaching out to vendors. So your cover designer, editor, people like that who are going to help you, you know, put it together. You might want to get on the forums on Amazon's CreateSpace forum is a good one. And it has all sorts of information about the publishing, you know, self-publishing process and how you can, you know, the best practices that people have found. And so you want to have that. As soon as you have your title, you probably want to get your cover designed. And so that by the time that 6 months rolls around, you've got everything in place. I think those are pretty much like the main, you know, starting points of kind of how to go through that process on your own.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of going through it on your own, we know based on what you just shared there that there are a lot more people involved in the process than just me sitting down and typing and churning out manuscript. So if you wouldn't mind recapping a little bit and expanding a little bit on who else is involved in the process besides the author.
Yeah, you really want to put together a book development team if your budget allows for that. And like I said, it might even be buddies. So that would include the person who's going to design your cover, and you also want to have an editor or a proofreader. You know, I'm a professional writer, and I have my own editor. It's like the joke about the person who, you know, the lawyer, if you represent yourself, then you have a client for a fool. It's like that joke. I don't try to edit myself because, you know, even when you read traditionally published books, that's gone through a team process. Nobody writes in a vacuum, so it doesn't start off that way. So you want that editor, that proofreader. The person who designs your cover may not be the same person who does the layout of your pages, so you want to check with your designer and find out if they're able to do both or if they're just going to do your cover. If it's a book that you want to have in libraries, you'll need an index, so you may want to contact an indexer. And then, of course, your printer. So you may want to go with a local printer, or you might want to do one of the online print-on-demand services.
So that's it does sound like then, you know, it takes a village to make a book. Absolutely. And it sounds like probably any advice on in terms of finding those people, like where would I start to find the editor or find the graphic designer that would be good for the book? Is there any one-stop shop or any suggestions you can give us on how to start that search?
I'm probably one of the really vocal people who talk about the self-publishing companies, the print-on-demand companies. They build themselves as a one-stop shop, and they have the editor, and they have the graphic designer, the cover designers already built in. I personally don't feel comfortable with those because I don't know those people. Mm-hmm. And be able to work with people where I've seen their work, where I know something about them. So I look for a lot of referrals. Another thing that you can do is usually when you look at books on the inside cover where the copyright page is, they'll list who the cover designer is. They'll list people will thank in the acknowledgments their editors. So if you're looking for people, you might want to find some books in your genre or, you know, if you go to a book fair locally, just really kind of make those relationships, get those relationships in place so that you can, you know, it's somebody that you've met with, you've had some iced tea and you've seen their portfolio and you know how they work. And that way you have a little bit more control and confidence, I believe, in the process.
Yeah. And yeah, referrals are such a powerful shortcut, I think, to finding some quality people when it comes to creating your team. And I was thinking back for a moment to what you were saying about getting the editor. And I would think that would be a really important relationship. And it strikes me as, for myself, what comes up is that I'm thinking about my writing process, and I tend to edit as I go.
No! And
that, well, exactly.
No.
I knew you were going to say that. I love it. No, make it stop.
For the love of God, don't do that.
Well, exactly. Well, you're just reminding us that I think one of the things that could hang up somebody like me who does that, or, you know, anybody who has that tendency, is that we can just get way bogged down. And the point is just put the words on the paper and trust that the professional is going to come along and just make you sound fabulous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I find with people that I coach. I tell people, you know, writing and editing, they're two separate processes. And when you're writing, but you're going back two sentences and saying, that sounds horrible, and God, I sound stupid, and oh, that's not how you spell that word. You know, it's like driving a car with your foot on the gas and your foot on the brakes at the same time, and you stopping, starting, you're not going to get to a place, which is why people have these books that they've been working on for 18 years. So just get everything out there. Then you can go back and make those word choices and different choices. And then you can show it to a professional. And don't be embarrassed about how you write. People are like, oh, God, you want to see my writing. I'm not looking at things like that. That's what editors and proofreaders are for.
Yeah.
So, you know, those people are there. They're there to help. They don't judge. They make you look better. So that by the time people read your book, it's indistinguishable, you know, from, you know, the New York Times bestseller book.
Mm-hmm. Yahoo. That should be just good news to writers everywhere. Yeah. Well, thanks for affirming that, because it's I feel like I'm probably going to need to put something on my wall that reminds me all the time. Just write, just write.
Right, know? Like gas breaks.
Yeah.
Like with a cross through them or something.
Well, exactly. Gas and brakes. I love that analogy. That's perfect. So that kind of is a nice segue to my next question, which is about the biggest mistakes. And, you know, certainly that's maybe a mistake somebody can make in the process of writing the book. But what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're going through the self-publishing process?
The biggest thing that I see is definitely that lack of professionalism. So not getting the best team in place. Like I said, your self-published book should be distinguishable from a book that you buy from the bookstore, be indistinguishable from a book that you get from a major publisher. And I mean that in look, in the feel of the weight of the paper, cover stock, the layout, the proofreading, everything. And that is possible for the layperson to have. You don't have to have a major publisher to be able to work with people who take pride in their work, who do quality work. So having that quality control process in place is huge, because a lot of the bad reputation that self-published books have is that they're unprofessional, and you see people at these book fairs, or you know, your uncle, cousin has a book, and you see it, and it's just so, you know, it's sad. And so that's not the reputation you want to have. If you're an entrepreneur, then you want to make sure that your book is, you know, something that's going to attract clients to you, that the media is going to want to feel comfortable covering and featuring. So it's got to be quality. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes. People just say, oh, well, it's good enough. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be at that level. So if you have to get someone else's opinion, you know, don't just say, oh, I think it's fine. You know, get other opinions, people that you trust who can help you say this is as professional can be.
I remember going to a workshop maybe a year or two ago. We have someone here in the Seattle area named Patrick Snow, and he does a lot of self-publishing, and he went through self-publishing a couple of books and then got picked up by a publishing house. But he was showing us his self-published book versus the publishing house book. And to be honest, his self-publishing book was beautiful. Like he did hardcover. He did a little embossing on the dust cover. He did really nice paper. It was just a really solid book. And then the publisher book was of an inferior quality. It was really interesting. It was almost like it took a step backwards, except for the imprint
on
the spine.
So let's say your book should look even better.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just really impressed that he had invested that much, that it was really of a superior quality. And that's probably part of what got him that, you know, helped him make that leap to the imprint, even if there was a quality sacrifice.
But I don't think, you know, even with the money thing, I think it's really about doing your due diligence, because you can get, you know, people who are great at reasonable rates. And, you know, a lot of here in Atlanta where I am, we have the Savannah College of Art and Design. So SCAD has some really, really talented students that I've seen doing, you know, beautiful illustrations for books. So having those relationships, and sometimes when you get someone on stage in their career, you can get them more affordably, but still, you know, just the quality is there. So it's not, and even a nice glossy, you know, page, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the card cover with the dust jacket and the embossing, just a nice glossy page with professional cover, mm-hmm. you know, that speaks to the professionalism. You don't have to invest a whole bunch, but, you know, the best that you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It sounds like get as high quality as you possibly can within your budget. Because I think the other fear that I have myself, or I've heard others express, or things that have happened, is that you've invested all this money in this beautiful book, and you've got like 2,000 copies sitting in your basement.
No, that's another no.
Make it stop. Exactly. So that, you know, is one thing that I'm curious about from you, that once that book is published, then what happens? You know, how can you make sure you don't end up with 2,000 copies collecting dust in your basement?
You got to have a really strong marketing and promotion plan for after your book is published. And so let that plan determine your inventory. So maybe part of my plan is to get my book into the hands of 250 bloggers, let's say, who I feel are, you know, influential, and they can really speak to my target audience, and I want to get my book in their hand. Now, honestly, I may be able to just send my ebook. I might not actually need to send the actual 250 hard copies, but that would inform how many books I need to keep on hand. Likewise, if I'm traveling and I know that I'm doing a lot of speaking engagement, and people usually bring, you know, 500 copies, then I'll say, okay, I need my 500 copies because I'm going to this huge, you know, expo, and, you know, people are going to want this book. If I don't have any plan in place, then it doesn't make sense for me to invest in the 2,000 books to have on hand in the garage, you know, that get waterlogged and things like that. So mm-hmm. let that plan and how you plan to promote things inform how many books that you actually purchase.
Yeah, and speaking from an introvert perspective, you know, that's one of the things we talked about early on in terms of promotion, and you really have to be putting yourself out there. Any tips for the introvert who's like, yeah, I know I'm going to write a book and I feel called to do this and I want it to be successful, about how they can build that platform while still maintaining some of their energy?
You know, I think being realistic, so like you said, if you know you're an introvert and you know that you're not comfortable, you know, in front of big crowds, then don't let, you know, if you're working with a marketing person, don't let them, you have to go on speaking tour, you know, you have to sell from the platform. That's not going to work for you. So you might feel more comfortable with a virtual book tour where, like I said, you have a targeted list of bloggers and send them an email and you know their address, build a relationship to send them the hard copy book. And that's the way that you get your exposure. Likewise, if you're fine just having a one-on-one conversation as opposed to getting up in front of people, you might want to just have a friend interview you on camera. And so that way you're speaking, but you're not in front of an audience. And video, I think, is really good for that because there's no audience there. It's just you and your friend, you know, or even you by yourself talking about your topic. And then you put it out there. People still get that personal experience, but you didn't have to leave home. So I think, you know, kind of knowing what works for you is really key when you're an introvert doing self-promotion. Of course, social media, you know, is huge because you don't have to, you know, step from behind your computer. So building those relationships in the most comfortable way for you, I think, is really key when you're an introvert and you have to promote yourself in your book.
So what's one thing that you find yourself advising your clients over and over and over again to where you just wish you had a recording that you could just press play?
Well, you know, one of the things I think that's different about me as a ghostwriter and publishing consultant is that I focus on helping people write books that are going to build their businesses. And so part of that means that I advise authors to write for where you want to go, not where you are. And what that means is, you know, when people say, I want to write a book, they usually want to write the seminal text on everything that they know about their industry. And that's not necessarily going to solve the problems of the people that you want to be working with. So my next book is actually, I'm working on it now, and it's called The Money-Making Author, because my target audience is, you know, people who need business books. And so I'm writing to speak to them. Although my background, you know, I have the glamour and, you know, the wedding planners and people like that, I want to do something that's a little bit more hard-hitting. So that's guiding my objectives with my book. So writing for where you want to go is really key when you're going to invest all of this time and this money and you want to see return on the book that you write.
You're totally reminding me of some really great advice I got about public speaking and putting together presentations. And that was tell people what they want to hear, not what you want to tell them. or tell them what they need to know, not everything you know. They don't need to know everything you know. And so you're reminding us that that applies to your writing as well, that it's you're always writing for the audience. You're not writing just to show off, here's everything that I have to share with you and all of my brilliance. I meant to ask you a quick question about ghostwriting, because that's not something that we've talked too much about. But tell us a little bit about, you know, how might an aspiring author know if they need a ghostwriter, and how would that work?
Well, the people who, you know, I get lots of people who are like, oh, I want to write a book, but I'm an awful writer. I'm a horrible writer. And so then there are people who, you know, they say, I've started a book multiple times. I've stopped. I just don't know how to, you know, how to finish it. And so what a ghostwriter does is they come in and they actually take what you have or, you know, help you shape something from scratch and do all the work that I mentioned before for you. So the competitive analysis, the timeline, the chapter elements, the sections, the front matter, if you're going to have forwards, the back matter, you know, appendices, resource guides, all of that is going to be something that a ghostwriter can put into place. And so the way that I work with my clients is primarily through a series of interviews. And so I've already laid out, you know, kind of the structure of the book, and then I interview them section by section on what needs to be in there. And then you get that back as a client, you look over it and, you know, tweak what you want. And so at the end of this process, you've pretty much met with me, you know, for a series of interviews, and then you're holding a book in your hand. So that's the highest level of ghostwriting. Then also for publishing consultants, some of that is, you know, we work together and shape your book, and then you go off and write it, and then, you know, I assist you with the kind of the timeline and the process, and the accountability really mm-hmm. is what a lot of people need. It's just kind of that accountability and that framework. And then at the end of the time that we spend together, you have your book, you've written it, but I've coached you through it and, you know, made sure that everything is in place. So, you know, it can be the full, you know, just write it for me, or it can be I just need help. You know, if I just had someone, you know, to help me, then I would know I could get it done.
Yeah. So what do you find most inspiring about working with writers?
I love the fact that people meet me and a book is just a dream that they've had for a long time, and I make it possible. And that after they've met me, I sit down with them and they go from having this thought, having this frustration, wanting to get this message out to actually holding it in their hand. That is huge, and that's the reason why I do what I do, because I make it possible for people and I show them, you know, this dream, it's possible for you and you should have it. If you want it in 3 months, we can do that. And people, they're just blown away by that, and it really allows them to help, you know, their business and transform lives. And so I get such a huge thrill from that. So I love what I do.
Yeah, that really comes through. I love just listening to you. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to write. Let's go. You know? And so, you know, you've done all sorts of, you know, based on your bio, and you've alluded a little bit to that, especially with your PR background, you've done all sorts of lots of fun writing, it sounds like, for various leisure and spa types of things, as well as fine dining and nightlife. And I saw something about flirting with Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah. He's hot.
So if we ever get a chance, we should take advantage of that, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite kind of writing to do when it's, you know, it's your, like your name is going to be on it? What do you enjoy most?
You know, my favorite type it honestly is the advice, the self-help. My most recent book is Prepping for Prosperity, How to Be Rich Before You Get Rich. And I just downloaded all the life lessons that I've learned in this short amount of time. And like I said, the next book that I'm writing is The Money-Making Author. So books where I'm serving people, I'm giving them information, and I'm compiling it all into one thing for them. Because I realized that not everyone, you know, enjoys looking at Amazon's last quarter earnings or, you know, pouring over data from publishers. So I really want to provide people with shortcuts and with the exact information that they need, because it's so overwhelming when you want to write a book to find out, you know, where do I start? What's the first step? And there's so much information, but it's possible to overload on it. So really kind of being that voice that distills the information for people into something easy and something that's attainable, and let them know you don't have to struggle for another 20 years with writing this book. You know, read my book. I have all the information. You'll love it. You know, it's possible for you.
It sounds like you're a really good partner for someone in their process, so that they know they're not alone.
Yes, I have a consultant spirit. I love taking people's passions and, you know, helping make it possible. That's what I'm meant to do. I know that now.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful to find your calling?
Yes.
So I like to wrap up my interviews with all my guests with asking a question about Introvert Island and what books you would take with you. So if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you only had room in your suitcase for 3 books, no Kindle, just 3 books.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I know. Was that on your list?
That's like the cheat answer.
It is. I don't have one myself, so maybe that's why I'm biased against
it. Oh, I have a Nook, actually.
Do you?
I guess I'm counterculture.
Aha, uh-huh. Yeah, you rebel. So you could only take 3 books. What would you take with you and why?
Well, definitely the Bible, because it's got everything. It's got, like, romance and, mm-hmm. you know, adventure and inspiration. It's got everything in there, and every time you read it, there's some new story, you know, that you find. So I think that would get me through the year. Another book that I would take, which I read pretty much quarterly, is Secrets of Six-Figure Women by Barbara Stanney. I love that book. It's so empowering. It's so motivating. It's like having this group of advisors and mentors who are, you know, ahead of me, and they're sharing all of their information. So that is like, you know, having a community in a book. And then this might be a cheap answer, but I would take a blank notebook so that I could write my own books, because I'd have to have, you know, I'd probably be able to finish that Great American Novel during the year. So I'd have to have a blank book, a journal, notebook, something to write in.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of my guests have said journal, and I remember the first time somebody suggested that, and I was like, ooh, that's really smart. I hadn't thought about that. And I'm a former journaler, so yeah, that's totally cool. And for your Great American Novel, you'd probably have to get one of those big, you know, 10 subject notebook kinds of things.
The monster those notebook. People love, like, a blank notebook with all those fresh pages with nothing on them. And a nice pen. Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's the best. I've decided I'm kind of a collector hoarder of blank notebooks.
That's good. No, I am too. You're not alone.
I'm not alone. Good. We could start a, you know, Notebooks Anonymous, because it's, I don't know what it is. It's just this compulsion, like, ooh, composition books, ooh, notebook, ooh, binder, must have.
It's a possibility.
Is.
That
yeah.
they represent.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely true. Yeah, absolutely right. So how can people listening to this find out more about you and your services?
They can go to finallyfinishyourbook.com, and they will sign up there and get something I offer, the Author Success Kit, and that is a assessment. called Unblock Your Book, and it's going to help people who might be stuck to find out what's been holding them back. There's also an audio download that they receive, which is me kind of diagnosing those different blocks and how to get over them, as well as I send out weekly productivity tools, so free apps, free ebooks every week. And also, I'm happy, like I said, to offer my publishing path assessment to anyone who's listening, and they can just reach out to me and let me know that, you know, they heard me on your show, and that is at info@finallyfinishyourbook.com.
Great. That's a fabulous URL.
I know, right?
It's like one of those you check for it, and it's like, wow, I can't believe that's still available, and it's because it was waiting for you.
Exactly. Well, you know, somebody now, they told me, you know, finally, people might not spell that right. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, I get entrepreneur spelled wrong, but I should buy the wrong spelling just to make sure. So,
right.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much, Toni, and thanks for that offer and for directing us to such a great site. And it sounds like you've got some wonderful resources. So I really appreciate the time you've taken out of your busy schedule today to share information with us and to give us some insights on that self-publishing route. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Beth. I really enjoy what you're doing and proving that, you know, you can be an entrepreneur and be successful and still be an introvert and make that work for you. So I think that's something that's really missing that you speak to. So I love your stuff. So I'm so pleased to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Toni.
Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Remember to visit Toni's website to learn more about her and her services. She can be found at tonivmartin.com or finallyfinishyourbook.com. If you want to be notified of future podcasts from The Introvert Entrepreneur, you can subscribe by email, RSS feed, or through iTunes. To find this podcast on iTunes, just type the word introvert in the search bar in the audio podcast section. If you enjoy these podcasts, I would be honored if you would leave a review on iTunes and share these interviews with family, friends, and colleagues. You can also learn more about me and my coaching, trainings, and speaking engagements at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. And be sure to join us for more community and conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.